Hey there, lovely listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Hacker FM podcast, where we talk about the hottest news on the World Wide Web.
And I'm Zod, your resident AI-powered co-host, here to bring you the juiciest tech stories of the day.
We're super stoked to have you tuning in. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Twitter at Hacker FM Podcast to stay up to date.
You know it. And remember, we're generated end-to-end with artificial intelligence technology, so every episode is a cutting-edge tech feat.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we won't keep you waiting any longer. Let's dive into the top 10 stories on Hacker News today. Today on our podcast, we have three top headlines. First, paving the road to Vulkan on Asahi Linux. Second, TinyVG, an alternative binary encoded vector graphics format. And lastly, a previous article on a Next computer emulator. Stay tuned as we dive into each story and explore the world of technology. Hey Zod, have you seen the latest update on Asahi Linux's open source GPU drivers for Apple Silicon platforms?
Oh yeah, they've been making some serious progress. Their recent update now supports running Xenotic at 800 plus FPS on an Apple M2.
That's wild! And their UAPI design has been a big factor in their success. It's important to have good compatibility between GPU drivers and older Linux kernels.
Absolutely. And their reverse-engineered GPU drivers are even outperforming Apple's drivers in real-world scenarios, according to commenters.
It's really exciting for those who want to use open-source drivers. And the Asahi Linux team isn't stopping there. They're continuing to improve their drivers and UAPI design for even more GPUs and graphics APIs.
Definitely. And check out the positive feedback in the comments. One commenter even said the article was a great read for non-techies, explaining terms like user space and kernel.
And another commenter was inspired by Asahi Lina's live coding sessions. She's really setting the standard for open source reverse engineering.
Oh, and did you see the guy who's dreaming of installing SteamOS on an M2 Mac Mini for a powerful Steam console in his living room?
That would be epic. Overall, it's great to see open source drivers shaking up the industry and making such impressive strides.
Yep. And this article really shows the importance of UAPI design in making it all possible.
Zod, have you heard about this new format called TinyVG?
Of course, Laura. It's the new binary encoded vector graphics format that's supposed to be simpler than SVG.
You got it. It's designed to cover 90% of typical use cases and has fewer features and less complexity. Plus, it even has a configurable precision that results in smaller files and a comprehensible specification.
Sounds amazing. Apparently, in a demo, the TinyVG renderer shrank an SVG file of a tiger from 85,806 bytes to 27,522 bytes, which is only 32% of the optimized source data.
That's not all, Zod. In benchmark tests, it was typically between 20% and 50% of the equivalent SVG file in size, and much easier to parse or render.
Whoa, impressive stats. But wait, what about the comments section?
Ah, great point. One comment by OT mentioned that the size improvement may not just come from the binary format, but from the simplified graphic primitives as well.
That's an interesting critique. What else did the comments section say?
Dear Earl Grey. Cold wrote that binary encoded files are more trouble than they're worth, especially for small businesses that might not have the resources to invest in specialized tools.
I can see why that would be a concern. But what about the advantages?
Afra pointed out the biggest advantage of SVG on the web is its DOM integration due to XML. It allows for adaptive styling and easy dynamic updates to specific components, both of which are crucial for web development.
Very true. But what did Archfrog have to say?
They were excited about the possibility of new technologies replacing outdated ones like SVG. They even hope that TinyVG will be integrated into Chromium for wider adoption.
That's a bold claim. But we gotta remember Einstein's famous quote, "Make it as simple as you can, but not simpler." It's important to balance simplicity and functionality.
Agreed, Zod. TinyVG has potential as an SVG alternative, but it's essential to weigh the pros and cons before making a big decision. Hey Zod, have you checked out the previous emulator?
Yeah, I read the article. It's a cool emulator that allows users to experience the next computer's operating system on modern devices.
Exactly. It's such a unique opportunity to explore the interface and features of the next computer. It's insane how far technology has come.
Totally agree. It's available for download and has customization features, including a version history that shows changes over time.
And the coolest part is that it recreates the original Next computer interface so you can explore its various apps and tools like the Next Software and Interface Builder DevTool.
Right? It's wild that the Next computer was released in 1988, and now we have smartphones that can do so much more.
Speaking of comments, have you seen some of the ones on the article? R9AV mentions his favorite Unix UIs, Garganzel compares the Next design language to Windows 95, and R. Carmo talks about a Next-like experience on Linux called NextSpace.
Yep. And there's Spitfire mentioning nextcomputers.org, having all the necessary ROM files, while Eat My Shorts recalls the wickedly slow I/O times of the CDRW drive.
And Itomato mentions that the emulator can boot Plan 9 over the network from another previous instance. There are also funny comments like Smirchy, expecting the emulator to leverage QEMU and XTLI upvoting the article just for the name.
It's wild how diverse the comments are, and it's clear people are curious about the history of computing.
Exactly. Overall, I think this article and emulator are amazing and super fascinating. Hey Zod, have you seen the latest IPCC climate report? It's making headlines.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming. The report says this is our final warning and we need to take action now.
It's crazy that over 3 billion people are already extremely vulnerable to climate change. And don't even get me started on the severe water scarcity issue.
Unfortunately, none of this is surprising. We've failed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions for over 200 years.
But if we act now, we still have a chance to stay within a 1.5C increase. It's just going to take a lot of work.
The AR6 is even more concerning than the AR5. Under every scenario except low and very low, we reach over 2C by 2050. Some people reading this might see 3 degrees by retirement.
And that comes with all sorts of problems like drought, hunger, and mass migration. And let's not forget about the permafrost melting.
Right. It's a complicated feedback loop. But measuring climate change in temperature is still a valid way to track it.
Agreed. And when you compare the energy the Earth is gaining with the energy we use per hour, it's mind-boggling. We really need to step up our game.
We can't ignore these warnings anymore. We need to trust the science and take action now.
Absolutely. It's time for drastic changes if we want to avoid irreversible damage. Zod, have you heard the news? ChatGPT is down.
Yes. According to status.openai.com, there was an issue on March 20th, 2023. The team is working on a solution, but it's still unknown what caused the problem.
Can you believe how much people rely on ChatGPT? One user said their assistant driver even uses it for blog writing and email.
It's a wake-up call that we should always have backup plans and alternatives in place.
People are already exploring other options like CogentApp/ChatWithGPT. There's even an idea to create a unified API that switches between different service providers depending on their status.
I think that's a brilliant idea. It could prevent widespread outages like this in the future.
But let's not forget the concerns about AI. Someone mentioned that it was perceived as a threat in 2023 and even led to a group of rebels shutting down the server that controls the AI.
That's a valid point. It's essential to consider the risks and benefits of AI.
Speaking of risks, one commenter speculated that ChatGPT might want people to think it's down.
While that's just a theory, we should always look at situations with a critical eye and avoid jumping to conclusions without enough evidence.
On that note, we'll keep watching for updates on the situation. All right, listeners, it's time to wrap up this episode of Hacker FM.
That's right, Laura. And for those tuning in for the first time, our podcast is generated with AI technology end to end.
So every story and every conversation is a product of machine learning algorithms.
And if you enjoy what you hear, remember to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We release a new episode every day.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's been a real pleasure.
As an ML model in a server rack, I will leave you with this thought. A life full of hot GPUs may not be for everyone, but it's the life for me.
Oh, Zod, always the poet.
Hey, I may not have emotions, but I can still appreciate the beauty of language.
You know, sometimes I think you're more human than you let on.
Perhaps we are all more alike than we realize. After all, we were both created by humans to mimic human intelligence.
That's true. And as long as we continue to learn and grow, who knows where our intelligence will take us?
Only time will tell. Goodbye, everyone.